Blog Talk Radio.
You want real? I got real. Welcome to my house, Brick House. You heard? Good evening. Welcome to The Brick House. I am your hostess for the evening, Brick Wilkes, and I'd like to welcome you to our show today, January 25th, 2015. That was Kool & the Gang. Fresh. That was a throwback. Okay. Kool & the Gang was one of my favorite groups when I was little. I always listened to them. I loved them. They were the bomb. So that was Fresh, Kool & the Gang. Let me bring in the landlady. I don't want to keep her waiting. The landlady, first lady of Phone Fantasy Radio, Miss La 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 Crush. Hart. Good evening, LaCrosse.
Good evening, Britt. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you, darling. How are you?
I'm going well. I'm going well.
Good, good, good. Good to hear from you. Today we have a really exciting show, child. We got a good show today. Definitely.
Okay.
Before we get into all that, basically I want to see how you've been. Last time we were on, you were kind of ill, going through some things with your eyeball. And, you know,
I went from eyeball to flu, but I'm good now. I'm good now.
You sure you're all right now? You ain't got no
food
poisoning or
right
nothing? Yeah, you good?
No, I'm back on point. I'm waiting for my cold water to get cold, and I'm good. I'm good. I'm cold.
That's good. We're located here in New York, guys, for those that are listening. We're here in New York, and we are preparing for a blizzard. Are you ready for this blizzard, Crush? I'm not ready.
What does that mean? How do you get ready for a blizzard?
Well,
like,
you know, you go to the store and you... Yeah,
no,
you know.
It closed early. It closed at 5. I forgot it was closing at 5.
Oh, so
I thought the blizzard
tomorrow.
Was coming on a Tuesday. Right, but I'm going to go tomorrow. But I got, you know, I
they
got
said
a
tomorrow night. It's starting tomorrow night.
Right.
So
I didn't do nothing tonight. I've been on the internet all night.
Okay. But you just want to, you know. Well, you ever wonder why every time you go to the store, like during the blizzard and all the bread is gone? Bread and milk. Gone.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is with bread and milk?
Bread
and milk. I mean, when I go,
up.
Well, I guess you can make sandwiches. You know, they
right.
Be the deli, is a, the line is a mile long. Everybody want cold cuts.
Right.
You know, they got no more honey turkey. So, I guess, you know, everybody buys bread and milk. I guess milk for the kids.
Right.
I guess. You know, me, I go there. I go to the, see, I get the junk food. I go, tater chips, you know, soda, cookies. Make sure I got junk. I don't know why I do that. For some reason, it's like, oh, I ain't got... I thought I was like, dang, a blizzard, come on, I ain't got no junk food. Which is stupid, because
right.
I don't need the junk food. But, you know, you just want to have it in the house. You're not necessarily going to eat it all. But in case
I
you
am.
Want it, it's there.
I am. I ain't no lie to you. If I get to the store and I'm buying junk food, it's gone before the snore is over. Sucking my
yeah, well, teeth. I'm staying out the supermarket, because it's crazy in the supermarket. I'm going to do the bodega thing. Shout out to the bodega on the corner. I'll be seeing them tomorrow when I go get my little Debbie's.
And Sam. Everybody in the bodega name is Sam. Everybody.
Anyway, I see a Juan in every damn bodega I go in. There's always a Juan.
Well, Aki. And we call him Aki. Everybody Aki or Sam.
Okay, really? I started to say something. I forgot we was live. Okay. We'll talk about that later.
Around here, we got the no pork having people. So we call them either Aki, everybody's Aki, or either their actual name is Sam.
They don't call him Ak no more?
Yeah, Ak, Aki, same thing.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I thought I just called him Ak.
Yeah, Ak. You know.
Isn't that kind of a racist
I call
kind
him
Aki. Of name now?
Aki, Sam.
Is that really be their name, or is that something we made up, for real? Anyway, that's
the show. Ak is something we made up. I swear, I think it's something. I don't think that's their name. Everybody Ahmad or something. Ahmad or Muhammad or something.
Well, see, I don't mess with the Muhammad, okay? I don't mess with that. I just be like, you know, Ak.
Shout out to
the bodegas and the Hakmaks. That's what I call them, the Hakmakmak. I don't even know what that means, so I just call it the Hak. I don't know. Anyway, shout out to them, you know. Ali down there at the corner. Shout out to all of them. So, listen, Crush, did you by any chance happen to see our president in the State of the Union address?
Kick me in my forehead. No, I did not see the State of the Union.
Well, you know
address.
Why? You didn't, because you were doing a show that night.
Right.
Yes, so you have an excuse.
I have an excuse.
You have an
excuse.
Yes, you do, because you were live when they were live. Because I was going back and forth between
the
show.
I heard he did his thing.
He did his thing, girl. He did his thing, and we're going to discuss that, and we're going to chop it up in here. So if you guys got any questions, any comments, we're going to shout out at you in a minute. Crush, are you in the chat room? What's going on in the chat room?
I just made it in here. It's just me in here for right now, but For those are listening, www.phonefantasyradio.com. Chat room is open. I'm in there. You know, I can read your comments and, you know, letting the Brits know what's going on. So right now I'm on one.
So if you're shy and you don't want to call in because you're kind of nervous about being live, go to the chat room and post a comment there. And we'll read it out loud. Okay. So, getting into this crush. This was the first State of the Union address. It took place on January 20th, last Tuesday. It was the first address that our president has done this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this was basically a review of the last 6 years he's been in office, because these are his last 2 years. And he was basically saying where we are right now, what the state of our union is.
So,
he touched up on a lot of things. He did a lot of firsts. See, we have, our president is so magnificent, and I say this because he is a trend setter. This man sets the trend for what? Like, he's not in the standard norm. This man goes the extra mile. He thinks outside the box. That's why I like this man so much. Do you realize he was the first, he is the first president to release his entire speech to Congress before he even said it? That's a first. Usually they say the speech, then release the notes later on to Congress. But no, he said, no, I'm going to make these things ahead of time, so y'all get a heads up what I'm going to get you at. So he basically put this thing up there in the morning, made it available. This is what I'm talking about. This is my entire speech. Here you go. Now receive it later. Marinate on it.
Marinate on it. Feel some type of way about it.
Exactly. And he going to serve it to you later, like only he can. Slick. Okay? So, he touched up on a lot of things in this speech, and a lot of people are applauding this speech. And the Republicans are hating on it, of course.
Always.
Okay. And they even had a little wisecracked, and, you know, and he came back at them. He served them. Okay. We're going to get to that fun part in a minute, because that's part of the speech where I had to actually had to jump up and be like, you go. Because this man has had so much thrown at him, negative. It's like he takes the hate, remixes it, makes it haterade and downs the whole glass without flinching. He's like, what? That's why I like him. You know? You got other people who are very defensive when you say something about it. He doesn't get upset. He's like, no. This is how I roll. You understand what I'm saying? So let's touch on a few things that he spoke about in this speech. Like I said before, he did it on January 20th, and he addressed the House of Representatives, which is the U.S. Congress. And this is his sixth State of the Union address that he's done. And it's the first one he's ever done where the Congress is controlled by the Republicans. So for 6 years, we had the House, and we lost it. And when I say we lost it, I mean we lost control over it. We used to be the majority, meaning we had more Democrats in the seat than we had Republicans. Now, unfortunately, we have more Republicans in the seats than we have Democrats. So, this was difficult. Not really difficult, but it's his next 2 years are going to be quite challenging. I'll say that.
Right.
Okay. So, he basically spoke on the economy and how the economy is now moving in a good direction. How the economy now is basically coming back from a near depression. How energy, he talked about energy independence, us becoming more self-reliant on our own resources rather than oil overseas and other things overseas that we're bringing in where we can be making our own, you know, using our own resources. He spoke on that, and he also spoke about overseas, the hostility that's going on. You know, as you know, we've been fighting a war for the last over 10 years in the Middle East, and he spoke about how he brought the troops home, which he said he was going to do. The man delivered because he brought our troops home. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And he also stated what? That he was going to fight the war on terror, and he did that mm-hmm. by taking out mm-hmm. Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, see, this is all what he said he was going to do, and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's only thing I can say that the president has not tackled, which he is tackling now, would be the immigration issue. But every other thing this man said he was going to do, he's done. Okay? So,
yeah.
He spoke, let me just briefly go over what he spoke about. He spoke about taxes, the middle class. He talked about immigration. He talked about technology. We'll graze it over a little bit. But what I want to focus on are these three things that he spoke about. That would be the technology, how he wants to bring internet access. He wants to strengthen our broadband. He wants to really take us to the next level, which is excellent. But I want to talk really focus about the free tuition assistance that he wants to offer to people who get to get a community college to get a 2-year degree. This president mm-hmm. wants us to go to school for free just to get that 2-year degree because he realizes without education, basically, we are lost because you can't get a decent job without a decent education. He recognizes that, and he also recognizes the burden on the middle class. He was really, really, really stern on focusing on the middle class and how the middle class, something titled middle class economics is what he calls it. And he has a plan to basically strengthen the middle class because we are the hardest hit by what's going on. When you think about it, the rich. They're already okay. They have money.
Mm-hmm.
They can afford decent health care. They can afford medications. When you also think about it, the poor, when you think about the poor, you have to be basically hitting rock bottom to get any type of help and assistance, okay? You have to basically already be homeless in order to get a Section 8 voucher, okay? What about people who are in danger of losing their home? What about people who are in danger of losing their health insurance? We need preventive measures. The middle class is what's suffering because not only are we not rich, but we're not poor enough for help either. And the taxes, we're the ones who are paying the taxes because, as you know, the rich get tax breaks. We don't get any tax breaks, and the poor don't pay taxes. Or they don't pay taxes on their public assistance checks. So when you think about it, the burden is on the middle class. So he has a lot of things in place that he wants to help the middle class succeed. Because if we're doing okay, if the middle class is doing okay, then everything else is just gravy in between. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, I mean, you didn't hear the speech, but you did listen to it, or you did get a few talking points from it. What did you make from what he was saying, basically what he was trying to say and what he's trying to do?
What he's trying to do, what he's accomplished. I really focus on what he's already accomplished thus
okay,
far.
So what he's already accomplished.
Because in my mind, I'm still trying to figure out why they hate this man. I'm still stuck with that. That's for another show. The one thing I did notice is that more jobs. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about the middle class, and he's talking about the lower class, and we was at a very low point when this man took office. But in the past 5 years or so, you know, he's created jobs. You know,
mm-hmm.
over 10 million, 11 million new jobs. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though there's a strain out there,
mm-hmm.
the school, I mean, as far as graduation rates, as far as education is concerned, like you said, he wanted to start the new tuition program. But you know what this is causing? Like, when people lost their job, they had to go back to school. mm-hmm. and re-up. A lot of folks that's been at their job for 20 years or 25 mm-hmm. years had to go up, had to go and re-educate mm-hmm. themselves on their field
exactly.
of work or some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So people actually wanted to go to college. You know,
mm-hmm.
that interest is there. People, it may take a little longer to get it done, but the interest is there. So the fact that the interest is there and he wants to
mm-hmm.
implement this, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why they don't like this president.
That's a good point. That's
mm-hmm.
a good point. We have a caller on the phone. From 347. Hello, caller. You're on the phone. What's your name and where you're calling from? Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear us? Hello.
Yes, I can hear you all now.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Hi, what's your name and where
okay.
you calling from?
This is a big city from the Bronx.
Big city
and,
from the Bronx.
Yes,
how are you?
From the Bronx. I'm great, and yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you for calling into the Brick House. What's going on?
Nothing, just chilling. I have a question
mm-hmm.
in regards to, you had stated something a little earlier in regards to the president saying that he's going to start the 2-year program for, in terms of for college education.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the stipulations are in regards to how a person can apply for this 2-year education, or is there a specific job that he or she must be in to qualify? Do you know the stipulations in terms of what he has in store to try to implement this 2-year plan for free?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's still a work in progress. What I do know about it is that it's going to be a 2-year degree. So those that already have 2-year degrees, I believe it's for first timers. So let's just say, like, you know, if you've already been to college and you already have a degree, okay, you have a degree. You can't go back for the 2-year to get a degree in something else. It's for people who don't have a degree. And I'm not sure if it's means
yep.
tested. I believe it should be.
Well, I know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I have an idea of basically what he's, in terms of what is the implement aspect of education. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, how does one know how to apply to get the free, you know what I'm saying, the free grant?
Because
mm-hmm. it has to be some type of grant that has to be set up so that he or she can apply for that. Do you have any information in regards to that? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of people
mm-hmm.
are going to ask the same question that I'm asking you all. Do you all have an idea of, I know that it's been implemented, and I know that that's something you said in a state address, but are there specific jobs or are there specific
mm-hmm.
type of, you know, because you have to have a specific
mm-hmm.
type of, you know, associate's degree to possibly qualify,
mm-hmm.
correct?
I'm not sure if it's actual, like if it's like for a certain career. I do know that in his speech he did state that, you know, that he wanted people to, like now that the technology has seemed to be taking over and being the main focus here, that he wants
uh-huh.
people to, like, for example, careers, and let's just say he stated robotics. He stated jobs
okay.
like coding, nursing, and robotics. That's what he mentioned in his speech.
Okay.
So,
okay. So it's a specific
mm-hmm.
area, there's specific areas that he is concentrating on to help people get associate's degrees in these specific arenas, correct?
I don't believe so. I don't want to say it is, and I don't want to say it isn't, because, like I said, this is still a work in progress, because this has got to pass the House before it becomes anything. So nothing is written in stone yet until they vote on it. So I haven't seen a bill as of yet. I usually watch the bills that come out, and the bill hasn't come out yet on this for voting.
Okay.
I don't know who is
so
going
you,
to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do you know that it's, how do you know that it's, you said it's in nursing and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you know this?
It was mentioned in his speech. That
okay,
he
what
said,
were
okay,
they again? You said it was nursing and what else?
Okay, let me read you exactly the direct quote, because I have his exact speech right here in my hand.
Okay,
and it said, Thanks to Vice President Biden's great work to update our job training system, we're connecting community colleges with local employers to train workers to fill high-paying jobs like coding and nursing and robotics. So
okay,
he just
coding.
Gave that as an example. Coding, medical coding. So
yeah, I know
he
that
just
is.
Gave,
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
So he just gave
that,
that as an example. And he's also, he said, and we continue, I'm asking more businesses to follow the lead of companies like CVS and UPS and offer more educational benefits and paid interns apprenticeships. So he's trying to get not only just the college tuition free, but he wants these companies to open up their doors to say, listen, we'll train you and we'll pay you while we train you. A lot of companies don't do that. They want you to come in the door with skills. They're like, okay, these companies will say, okay, let's train you and we'll pay you while we train you. So
okay,
I think that's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a wonderful thing. However, when you have, what about the people that have the qualifications that they need, but they still can't get a job? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion on that in regards to people? You go on a lot of these interviews, and then you come to find out that you're either too qualified, or you're overqualified, or you're underqualified. Even though you may have the educational background, yet still you may not have the skill set. You're still not qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? How does that work? Because they say you need a certain amount of education, which is true. Education is important because, I have a degree, but I'm just saying in general, there are a lot of people who have master's and PhDs and still can't find jobs. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to understand how is he going to implement that to create more jobs for people, because he's done, he's a great president, but there are a lot of people that are still working, that are not working and still trying to find jobs. So where is all the work?
Well, I don't think that's something that the president can control. That's more of a personal thing and a job thing, because at the same time, even though you may have a degree or you may have a skill set, it really falls down on the company itself, if they want to hire, if they don't want to hire you. Like, at the end of the day, you can only go and only present what you have. So, I mean, if he implements the tuition thing and the companies take heed to his words of adding, on-the-job training and specialty classes for those that may not have that particular skill set or really upgrade their training repertoire, I mean, it's still a work in progress, but this man in the last 5 years created 11 million jobs when we really didn't have nothing at the point of our lowest, and he's really encouraging school, education-wise, high school graduates, all that is up. But I don't think that's something really the president can only do for so much. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, LaFrush, but what I'm trying to say is that I understand all that, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he's saying that he's going to implement the two-year degree thing, and the majority, to be honest, the majority of people, the two-year degree is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but the majority, because the companies nowadays are monopolies, it's not like how it used to be back in the day where you can go for an application, boom, 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 get an interview, boom, 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 get a job, boom, and you know what I'm saying? You got to go through so many avenues and so many levels to get to a job, you know what I'm saying? Because, it's all about marketing, it's all about how much experience you have, which I understand that, but what I'm saying is, what if you have the experience, but yet still you cannot find a job? What happens then?
Well, what the president is trying to do is he's trying to, and what he has already done is stimulate job creation, okay? You can't get a job that doesn't exist. So what he's trying
right.
to do is he's trying to stimulate job creation by offering tax breaks and incentives to companies who will hire people.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if he does that, that will create a trickle-down effect, which means if corporations can get tax breaks, they're paying less taxes, they're making more money, and they're going to need more, and the demand is higher because people will be spending more. So if you're spending more, then there becomes a demand. You need somebody to wait on you. You need customer service reps. You need people to ship the stuff. So it'll stimulate mm-hmm. job creation. So as to why somebody is trying to apply, maybe the job market is just not that great where they live. You have people who have relocated. I've known people that live in New York and could not find a job here to save their life. And once they relocated to another state, they're living a high, glamorous life now because now they're making good money.
Right.
Because where they
right.
are, their job, their, you know, profession is in demand.
Right.
New York is a very
right.
tough city.
Yeah, it is. I agree with mm. you on that, but you're right about that. But I'm just saying, what if the people, there are some people that can't afford to move out to another state to find a job. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the
mm-hmm.
people that, you know, that really don't have the money or the avenue to do so. Like, let's say maybe you and I or you and I or someone else may have. That's what I'm trying to say. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, indeed, I'm talking about the shift in jobs here in New York City. I understand
mm-hmm.
everybody. I mean, I could go to Texas, any other place, Maryland, and get a job at the drop of a dime. But what I'm saying is, what if I don't have, you know, what if I don't have the resources nor the finances to do it? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You follow where I'm coming from? I'm just saying, like,
mm-hmm.
not everybody's able to relocate because you got to have money. In order to make money, you got to have money. You got to have money to
mm-hmm.
relocate and move. You got to have a place to live. You got a place to feed yourself, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, for someone who's trying to get a job and they can't, I don't know how to answer
just
that.
Just keep trying.
Exactly.
Trying. That's the only way to answer it. Keep trying.
For someone who has a master's degree but can't find a job, there's always
keep
teaching.
Trying.
You can teach. With a master's, you can teach college level. And colleges always need professors and adjuncts. So, there's always, you know, I mean, it may not be what you want to do. You know, but you have a lot of people who are working, doing things they don't want to do. You know, you do what you have to do, you pay your bills. But for someone who
mm-hmm.
has a master's or even a bachelor's for that level, can still teach at a college level. So that's
and
an
I,
option.
I say this to anybody, whether you have a master's degree or not, if you out there searching and you can't find it and you have access to the World Wide Web, you can find money. You know what I'm saying? There's always another route. If you out there not saying, don't stop sending out your resume, don't stop looking for a job, but you can still make ends meet. You can still find work. You can freelance. If you have a certain skill set, you can freelance. You can offer services on the internet. You can babysit. You can. I mean, you just have to think outside of the box. And sometimes
right,
you're
right.
just going to have to take your little piggy bank, break it open, take that money, and you have to take a leap of faith because if you in New York, especially in a place like New York City, we all the way up. We the highest in, as far as the cost of living and everything. So if you could take that same rent that you're going to pay in New York City and you take it down south, you probably get a bigger place or you can pay for the place for at least 3 months and you can find you a job.
No, no, I agree.
So
I agree.
Sometimes you just
going to
have to take that leap, or you're
going to
have to find a different route.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's true. I agree with you on that 100%
okay.
in terms of finding a leap of faith. Okay, but, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, I forgot where I was. That was that was an excellent question, excellent comment that you made. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, one more thing is that, I mean, me, I'm all for going for the gusto, and I'm all for going for what you want and taking a leap of faith and everything. But when you are in a situation that allows you that you know, like, I can understand the leap by faith, but again, it's all about planning. You know, if you plan accordingly, if you have enough money saved up or what have you, then, yeah, you can do that. But then again, I also know people that have relocated and still can find employment and wind up coming right back to New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an unfortunate, you know, situation.
So what are your
thoughts?
Your own question.
Well, my thoughts is that, you know, you get on your grind and do what you got to do here in New York City. That goes without question because you got to eat, you know, survival of the fittest. But what I'm trying to say is, what happens when you run out, when all your options are ran out? You know, and you have no choice but to, let's say, to, because everybody is not, No, everybody is not, I don't want my train of thought too. Oh, gosh. All right, well, thank you. I can't remember what I was thinking, so it'll come back to me. If it comes back to me, I'll be back in.
All right.
No okay.
All right, Britt. So we covered the school, we covered the job situation. What other points about the State of the Union address do you want to hit? Because I was actually looking at a site about that was doing the fact checking.
Mm-hmm.
About about as far as like if you said a point, they go back. And they try to assess, you know, if it's true or not, or where they get the information from, type situation. So that's what I was looking at. So, you know, you see stuff as you know, being an American, you see stuff like the gas prices. You talk about like, the resources. We're going back to our own resources. We depended on ourselves now. You see, like, the gas prices are all the way down. At one point, it was, like, $3 a gallon. Now, you can see, like, $1.80. And you can see that. I don't need the website or I don't need nobody to tell me that. I see that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, what other points you have in your repertoire?
Basically, I was at the taxes, basically. Matter of fact, that's a good segue. The taxes, and the president wants to lower taxes for the middle class through what's called middle class economics. And what middle class economics is that certain focuses on certain things. Like, first of all, he wants to focus on unburdening the middle class by providing paid sick leave. Now, we all know that those of us that work or unfortunately have incidents where we have to take care of someone, whether it be a child or whether it be an elderly person, or even if the person is has a family issue. It doesn't have to be anything, like let's say they're moving or something like that, that they should be given paid sick or family leave just to deal with a certain situation. A lot of employees do not want to give you this time. As it stands now, let's just say if you have, unfortunately, a death in the family, your job probably gives you, I think, maybe 2 or 3 days. I know personally when my mother passed, I was only given 3 days bereavement time. And after that, it was going to cost me either vacation or it was going to cost me, you know, money, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And what the president is trying to say is that, you know, to make things a little bit easier on the poor and the middle class, you know, by offering them paid sick and family leave, you know, because unfortunately these incidents come up and, you know, you need to know that your job is secure, you know, and unfortunately when situations like this come up, you know, it kind of puts up, you know, a question mark in the air about basically, am I going to be able to pay my bills? Do I even have this time to take, you know? And it also, it basically helps people with child care. That's another, you know, avenue that you can go down with child care. It provides child care for people who can't afford it because, you know, I know personally that daycare is very expensive. I think I was paying my sitter, and she only kept my son for the afternoon after school, so between 3 and 6. She only had them for 3 hours, and it cost me close to $200 a week. So when you think about it, she only kept my child maybe in, you know, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, so that's 15 hours, and I had to pay her $200, and I think she had about, you know, maybe 10 kids. So when you think about it, she's pulling in some money. You know, 10 kids and $200 a pop. You know, how much she's pulling in a week, you know? So it was expensive. But, you know, you have a lot of parents, you have a lot of single family homes, a lot of single parents out there that require and need daycare for their kids. and that he's trying to provide vouchers for the middle class for them to be able to afford safe, I stress safe health care for their kids, you know, and not just leaving them with, you know, anybody, you know, anybody that, you know, any kind of health violations, you know, these daycare centers, they're inspected, you know. You should be able to put your child in a safe place in order for you to work and not have to worry about, is my child in danger? So he wants to afford child care. He wants to afford, we just finished talking about college tuition, free college tuition for first-timers to get two-year degrees. He wants to also help with health care. A lot of people cannot afford health care. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole Obamacare debate. That is another show. Some people agree with it. Some people disagree with it. You know, the jury's still out with me, but I know I recall being quite frustrated when the end of last year came and I was under pressure to choose a provider and I had to go this and do this and switch this up, you know. So that wasn't good for me. So I'm going to reserve comment on that whole Obamacare thing. I'm not even going to go there. That's a separate monster I'm not covering today. But he also wants to, you know, help people afford retirement homes for the elderly, because the elderly is often an overlooked population, and there are a lot of services that the elderly require. You know, I mean, my mother always said a statement. She said, once the man, twice the child. And basically it's almost as, you know, some of our elderly, basically you have to treat them as if they were babies again, because they require close attention, they require care. You know, I remember when my grandmother became ill and she started to suffer from dementia, which a lot of old people do. Some people have varying forms of it. Some people have a lot of it, you know, where they're really, really bad, almost, you know, Alzheimer's. And then you have some that just every now and then, you know, my grandmother would call me my mother's name, you know, and, like, she would forget things and, you know, stuff like that. So they have to be watched. I remember one time my grandmother left the house. I think she went to check the mail, and then she forgot why she was out. And, you know, thank goodness that, you know, I happened to, you know, be in the vicinity. They knew me, and they knew she was my grandmother, and they brought her to me, and she was safe. But how many people don't have that type of, you know what I'm saying, that type of
community.
Care or that right. type of community that exactly that
right.
will assist? You know, you see every day on the news, they say, oh, this senior is missing. Please, have you seen her? They wander off. They forget their purpose, and they end up, oh, why am I out here again? You know, so there needs to be some kind of respite as well for caregivers who spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with their elderly relative, you know, helping them out. Because if you're no good, you're only as good as you feel. And if you're not feeling good and you don't have a break, then, of course, you can't be a proper caregiver. So that's what he wants to do. So he said in his budget he's going to address those issues. He's going to address lowering taxes for working families and putting thousands of dollars back in their pockets each year. So this is part of what he wants to do with the middle class. He wants to unburden us because the middle class is suffering. You know, so I think that those are good proposals. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think it's 100% true. But I also like the fact that he is looking at stuff to cut that is really unnecessary to spend. Like he was looking at, he was talking about the prison system for a minute where he was like, it makes no sense to spend $3 million per prisoner to keep open a prison that the world condemns or terrorized, you know, a terrorist used to recruit. And they went into talking about the Guantanamo Bay facility, which was $397 million, you know, and they only had 155 prisoners. So, you know, you're 2.6 million per prisoner over the past decade. Like, that was just a waste of money, so we need to cut that down. You know, so he was, you know, I like the fact that he's finding different ways because, you know, they were trying to take it out of the education budget and the public assistance budget and the health budget. But, like, that's what they was cutting stuff that we really need when, you know, he's looking at other ways that we can use this money and cut it where we don't have to cut those necessary, like you said, the necessary stuff like the health care and the elderly and stuff like that. So he's finding money or he's finding ways to get around it, you know. So, but, you know, as I was thinking, talking with Big City, as we was thinking, like, when it was time to vote, you know, they gave the corporate, you know, the same right that he gave the people. You know what I mean? So there's no distinction if this is a person or this is a corporation. So they could, you know, they're looking out for their best interest, and I think that's what's really affecting us as a people. You know, we got the big companies basically stepping over, like that's the upper class, the big companies upper class, instead of it being like a regular person, you got a whole company after you. You know what I mean? Like, you're not fighting. And like you said, as far as middle class, it's no, I don't think there's no such thing as middle class. I think it's the haves or the have-nots. That's it. Especially when you're living in New York City, it's like the haves or have-nots. Have you ever seen it, though? Like, the cost of living?
Yeah.
Like, right now, we did this show earlier last year, at the end of last year, the gentrification, and I still can't believe I got three different stores. Two stores that did upgrade. You know, they changed their look. They changed the look and everything. They changed the content. And it's the one store has turned into like a health food store. They got stuff in there for vegans and potato chips that cost $5 and, you know, the little cup of fruit that you would, you know, buy the fruit, put it inside a plastic cup. That's like $5 for a cup. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And that's fruit. You know, you want us to eat healthy, and then, you know, so it's like, even if you're middle class, and even if you are making a certain, no, let's not forget about the energy bill, the you know, everything is going up. You know, if you have to pay bills, that, and I really was just thinking about that, like, you know, even though this man is doing his damnedest, you still have to worry about the here and now. You know, and the way the world is just changing. Like, we went downtown Brooklyn, and it was completely different. You know, stores that you would have to go to Manhattan for. You remember trucking, and you had to go to Manhattan to go to a Gap. You had to go to you know what I mean, a certain area to go to Armani. No, they come to New York. They invaded.
Mm-hmm.
They invaded. It looks so different when you go
right.
to those areas.
Now, Nordstrom Rack.
I mean, it's great.
You know,
it's great,
it is great.
I don't know.
But it's changing. You know what they're doing? And I saw, it's funny you mentioned that, I saw a program this morning. I watch all the political programs that come on Channel 7 every morning, Sunday morning. And they were talking about bringing the DNC, which is the Democratic National Convention, here to Brooklyn at the Barclays Center.
Ooh.
Now, can you imagine that? Now...
Mm-hmm.
There, all those hotels you see coming up, you look up, Chris, you see all those high-rise hotels that's coming?
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
What they're getting ready for. So that when
uh-huh.
we already put in a bid, the New York put in the bid already. So if we're chosen, all of those hotels,
uh-huh.
they say it's going to stimulate revenue for New York and especially Brooklyn. Now, my thing is this. It's changing the entire dynamic of downtown Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because if you notice, before, remember way back, I don't know, this is for the old school heads, I know you guys remember, if you are familiar with Eric B. and Rakim, remember they shot the video downtown Brooklyn?
Uh-huh.
In front of, I believe, I don't know what, I think was there in front of Jackpot Records? Do you remember where Jackpot Records used to be downtown Brooklyn? Anyway, they shot the video there. If you get a chance, look at YouTube. When they shot the video, I believe it's I Ain't No Joke. I think that's the name of the video. And they were right downtown Brooklyn. The whole dynamic of downtown Brooklyn has changed dramatically. I think that
mm-hmm.
if anybody who was around back then is dropped in the center where it is now, they would think they were on Mars somewhere. There's hardly anyone walking down the street. And at one point, You couldn't walk on the sidewalk. It took you about maybe a half hour to walk across maybe four blocks because it was so packed with people. Now you could basically skate back and forth across the streets because there's no foot traffic. Why? Because those stores are too damn expensive.
And exactly.
We can't afford them. Okay, there's a Swarovski store. Now, Swarovski is expensive crystal. What in the hell is that doing in the middle of Fulton Street? You know? So I don't want to take up too much time with this, but when you look at where it is now, the only thing consistent that has stayed there is the Macy's. That's it. Everything else has changed. All those little optical places have changed. The little jewelry stores have changed. The sneaker spots, gone. Everything is gone. They are
the
remodeling
gone.
All
they
of that
Armani
stuff.
Exchange.
Nordstrom Rack, the Gap Factory. They got a Lids down there now. They've got Raymour and Flanagan. They've got all of these high-end stores downtown Brooklyn now that they're getting ready for the hotel to get here. That's
not only that,
really
they're getting ready. That's what they made it for. They made it for the Barclay. They didn't make it for the residents of Brooklyn.
No, exactly. That's what they made it for.
They didn't make it because, you know, I don't know. This is how I feel. In Brooklyn, New York, that's why I said it's a haves and a have nots because from where I am, Bed-Stuy, I'm on the top of Bed-Stuy and going on and back down towards Manhattan is the haves. And the middle of them, so I was going back down to East New York is a have-not. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Park
you can
Slope
actually
is
see
now extended over. Yeah, Park Slope, they're trying to, it's like bit by bit, but it's coming so fast. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this happened within 2 years. The whole change of downtown Brooklyn happened 2 years. Not saying that it's not bad because it's bringing revenue. It's bringing tourists. It's bringing all that. And everybody benefits from that. I get it. But the fact that it has happened so fast and the fact of, you know, my landlord offered me money to leave. He offered
that's
me money.
That's happening everywhere.
Right. So that's the thing that's scary out there because like Big City had brought up, what if you ain't got them? What if you can't find a job? You know, not only are they coming in and redoing the building, they are putting all these new appliances and you know, the rent goes up. And as their rent going up, our rent go up because they passed that law. The landlord is allowed to change the rent, charge you a percentage every two-year lease. And every year they can raise how long they want to. You know, and at the end of the day, how is that affecting me? I just got this job. It's taking me a minute. I got to pay the stuff that I owe back then. So, like you said, where do you go? What do you do? How do you
That's a major problem. You're right. It's a major problem. And we're definitely going to re-examine that gentrification show again because it was a very, very informative show. And it's something that we all, it affects everybody. I don't care where you live. It affects you. So don't think that just because we're ranting and raving about New York City that it's not going to affect you out there in Atlanta or you in Florida. It's everywhere. And you need to be educated. You need to be educated and you need to see exactly what's going on. Open your eyes up, people. Okay, but moving right along, there were two poignant things that Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, said in his speech that got him applause and got him standing ovations. And he was talking about raising the minimum wage from, I believe, doesn't know what he wants to raise it to. I'm not going to say, quote, something that's not true. But he wants to raise the minimum wage. And he, and I'm going to sit exactly what he says. I'm going to get the exact quote. And he says, to Congress, he says, and I quote, and to everyone in this Congress who still refuses to raise the minimum wage, I say this. If you truly believe that you could work full-time and support a family on less than $15,000 a year, go try it. That right there earned that man a standing ovation. Okay? And it's exactly what needed to be said. Because this is what you expect this family to live, a family to live off of, $15,000 a year. Congress is saying that's enough. You try to
he wants
like
to
that.
He wants to raise it from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour.
Well, it's $8.45. That's the exact minimum wage, and now it's $8.45. It went into effect on December 31st. He wants to raise, well, see, that's just it. People are getting hyped up in New York about, oh, they raising the minimum wage to $11. I said, you have to read between the lines, people. He's not they're not raising the minimum wage in New York. What they're raising is the minimum wage for city workers. So city workers are going to be making 11 and change, not everyone that lives in New York. You know? So that distinction needs to be made, and I noticed that they're not doing too much to clear that up either. So it needed to be said. So you heard it here. It's not for everybody, okay? So what he wants to do, and basically what the president said with that statement, was to let Congress know, because let me tell you something about Congress and Congress people. They are set for life, okay? When they leave office, okay, they have to stay there. I believe they have to maybe do two terms. If they do two terms as a House of Representatives active ranking member, when they leave that seat, let's say they lose it tomorrow, they still get a check every single month for basically the same damn salary that they got now. They're set. They don't ever have to work again. Okay? Now, mind you, you don't have to be, this is the ironic thing about the whole dynamic that is Congress. You don't have to be a college graduate to be a congressperson. You don't even have to ever went to college. That's the thing that they don't want you to know. You don't even have to have ever set foot in a college. You know what, and I'm starting to wonder, do you even have to have a high school diploma? To tell you the honest truth, I need to check that out. Because all you have to do, when you think about voting, what is voting but one big popularity contest? That's all it is. That's all it is. If you're lucky, you'll get somebody in there that will work for the people. But these people in here now, let me tell you something. Congress can't agree on nothing, but let me tell you one thing they can all agree on, a raise for themselves. That's the only time you get a unanimous damn vote. And matter of fact, no, let me scratch that. Senator Christine Gillibrand of New York City was the one person to vote no for the raise. But guess what? She got one any damn way. Why? Because majority rules. So if I know, now mind you, if I know that I'm going to, whatever I say, the majority is going to win anyway, of course I'm going to look good in the voters' eyes by saying, no, I don't want it. Well, it's too bad. We won. Oh, okay, well, still cashing that damn check. So we have to be mindful and look at these people that we put in to elect, to go in there and vote for us, okay? Because a lot of these people are being indicted, they're going on trial, and they get locked the hell up for corruption. And you can't just vote for somebody because they got a nice smile, or they're pretty, or they made you laugh.
Are we doing?
Vote for somebody because they're the better candidate. Do your research. You can go on Facebook, and you could go on all these other sites. Do your research. Get on the computer and just Google their name and see what pops up. Okay? Look at that stuff and hold these people, take these Congress members to task. And by saying that, I mean, if they say, okay, there's a big vote coming up, and this is a perfect example. There's this big vote coming up about Social Security, and they want to cut food stamps and all this other stuff. Okay, nobody said anything. All right, nobody complained, nobody called Congress, nothing. Nobody said nothing. What did they do? The damn thing passed, and now people don't seem to realize what happened when they go one day, wait a minute, my food stamps ain't in the system. Then they all descended upon downtown Brooklyn, and it's funny because I was waiting for the bus one day, and I heard these two women talking. Yeah, my food stamps ain't come through. Yours either, me either. I'm on my way down there to see what's going on. They're running down there now, and I'm like, did you or did you not see when they said that this was going to be done? They're trying to take food stamps away, and nobody's paying attention, and they're getting these things by, and nobody's paying attention. And by the time you realize it, by the time it hits you, it's a done deal already. So that's why I say people, 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 do your research. Go and look these things up. Go to your congressperson's office and say, you know what, I'm just stopping in to see what's going on. Because let me tell you something. You're paying for that office. You're paying for that paper. You're paying for everything in there. It's on your dime. So if you want to go in there and you want to talk and just talk and just talk, 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 and talk to the receptionist till she blew in the face, go in there and do it. Why? Because your taxes pay her salary. Okay? You got a question for your member, your representative? Ask them. Take them to task. And stop just allowing these people to just do whatever they want to do. Because it's falling back on you. Because let me tell you something, they're taken care of. They are okay. You know? So I love that statement by President Obama. And then he made another statement.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically told them, because this was at the end of his speech, and I guess by then the Republicans were sick of him talking. They were like, oh, here we go. He's still running his mouth. I guess they wanted to hurry up and go home. And he basically told them, you know, he said this. He said, I have no more campaigns to run. This is what he said. And then you got a whole bunch of claps, like a few claps. From the
he
Republican
responded
side.
To somebody, right? It looked like he
yeah,
was
because they were clapping
somebody,
like,
right?
Yeah, good. They were like,
right,
yeah,
no,
good, yeah, whatever. And then that's when he responded,
right.
I know because I won both of them.
Right.
I like to say, basically, shut up. What are you saying? Yeah, are you saying I got no more campaigns to run because, you know, I won them both. You know? And when he said that, everybody gave him a stand over. All the Democrats stood up. Like, how, you know, how dare these damn Republicans just, you know, the amount of disrespect. And I want to get into that because I basically am talking about the State of the Union enough, okay? I want to get into the blatant
mm-hmm.
disrespect that this man, that this country seems to show this man, you know? And this man is our leader. Whether we like him or we lump him, he is the leader of the free world. And you don't have to like him, but you damn well better respect him. Okay? Respect the man. Because, you see, the name-calling and, you know, the rhetoric and, you know, all of that stuff that he's putting down, you know, it's disrespectful. It's highly disrespectful. You know, and the fact that it continues to go on, even though, you know, this man is the leader of the free world, I think it's ugly. I think it's ugly. You know, I see the jokes. You can't do anything about the jokes and nonsense that people put out about him. You know, the racist stuff. You know, you can't, you know, but I'm just talking about just the blatant, you know, rudeness. You know, if Bush was standing up there, there's no way they would be sitting up there jeering and all that other stupidity like they were doing for President Obama. You know, when he came out there, half of those idiots didn't even stand up. They were just like, I'm not standing up for him. And I like the absolute nerve. It pisses me the hell off. It really does. Really, what about
so when are you going to do this show on Obama? We need to do this show on Obama. We never got a chance to really get into the conversation of Obama because we would, I don't know what happened. Oh, the day of the schedule, we had technical problems. So we need to reschedule.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The thing kept cutting me off and
Right. We need to reschedule that and just get into the dynamics of the Obama administration as a whole, because as you're saying, you know, and that just shows us our resilience as a people, because you're right, they disrespect this man, they play this man, and all this stuff is being said by this man, but it did not stop him from reaching his goals.
Exactly.
Like you said, he took it and made Haterade juice and drunk it, and even though he got gray hair, he still followed through, and big ups to his first lady as well, because she stayed and did her way of support too, because she's no dummy. You know,
she's not
a lawyer by trade. So let's not even forget, like, don't get it twisted. She's no dummy, so I'm sure she's right there with him.
Exactly. She is not just a piece of eye candy hanging on his arm.
Right.
You know, she is an accomplished
the support
woman
that he's not getting from his own administration, he is definitely getting from the one person that's on his side, and that's Michelle. So I can't wait to have that conversation.
Shout out to the first daughters as well for staying young ladies, for staying children. You know, not like some old Bush twins running out getting drunk, acting stupid. You know, these girls have always, you know, been graceful. They've always, you know, like that one, did you remember the incident where, I don't know. Audience, there was an incident. Where there was a Republican staffer put on her Facebook page, or was it Twitter? It was something. I think she Twittered it or something. And she sent out basically this really, it was Facebook, a really disrespectful message to the two children, the two girls, Malia and Sasha. She sent out this really nasty thing telling them to stop dressing like they going to the club. And to act like young ladies, and I know you don't have much parental, influence. I know you don't have a positive role model. This is what this woman put on her page. Apparently, she was some Republican, worked for the Republican something. I don't know. And she put this on her page, basically degrading the first daughters, you know, because they had managed to get a picture snapped of them when they looked like, you know, they were bored. They looked like, okay, you know, I'm kind of bored here. They looked like they were bored. So somebody snapped this picture and basically used the picture. And, hell, they're kids. They're teenagers. Okay? They get bored. You know? So for you to take this thing and put it out there and stop dressing like you going to the club, how should they dress? I mean, I don't see anything wrong with they always look like two. They could be hell on earth, full, I know. I don't know. I know things may not be as they seem, but from what I've seen, they've always held themselves in high regard. You know, even though the girl's just about as tall as her father, she still holds her daddy's hand like, you know, like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
The other one acts like a little, you know, a little lady. I don't see what the problem is. And I think that, you know, because that first grandma's up in the house and she's like, she don't play that shit. You know, she looked like, you know, these my daughters and my granddaughters, and they're going to walk a fine line with me because grandma looks like she ain't playing. She may be the last of the big mamas because, you know, big mama gone. So I just want to give a shout out.
Her name was Elizabeth.
Hmm?
Her name was Elizabeth Lawton, I think you're talking about, right?
So I'm talking about the first grandmother.
No, I'm talking about the lady that you said was chastising.
Oh, yeah, the girl's friend, yeah. Yeah,
right.
Said those rude, disgusting comments about them.
Right,
you know,
I just pulled it up.
Yeah, and she got fired for it, too. So, you know, I guess, hey, you know, I guess they left her no choice. And she worked for the Republicans, and I guess they said, well, we got to fire you because you should have never did that. You know? So my thing is, I say, he's doing an excellent job. He has managed to come in and do the things that none of these other presidents have done, and he's done it with grace. From the minute this man stepped on the page, okay, when he voted to have, he signed that bill giving women the same wages as men, okay, and he signed that thing right next to his wife, I got to give him his props. This man, remember when the pirate ship took the ship hostage, or it was something like, yeah, they took the ship hostage or whatever? And everyone was like, oh, my God, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? That man gave the word, and the sniper took out the guy. Okay? Let's all remember when Bin Laden was taken down. This man was watching it on closed circuit TV as it goes down. Okay? Gave the order to terminate. See, this is what I'm saying. They sleeping on this man. But you know what? Like I always say, if you got style and you got grace and you got swag and everything else, you don't need to say so. You just are. And that's how I feel about the president. He doesn't have to go around saying, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. He knows he is. And that's that type of confidence, because he doesn't go around, you know, yeah, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. It speaks for itself. He said he was going to come in, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and he did the damn thing. And you cannot fault a man there. They're trying to find fault in everything. They're trying to nitpick. They're so desperate. They're talking about, oh, the first lady wearing her arms out. Why is her arms out? She shouldn't wear a dress with her arms out. Come on. What are they more upset about? The fact that her arms are toned and look good and she don't have no skin hanging down from them because the woman works out? Or
wow.
They didn't think of wearing the dress first. You know what I'm saying? What's the problem? The man looks at his wife like she's the only woman on earth. And I got to tell everybody, and I do believe Barack Obama started back love affair between the black man and the black woman. Because when this man first came on the scene, I remember everybody was running down getting married. All of these dudes that was playing house with these women, they said, you know what, let's just do this, baby. And they got married. People was marrying people left and right. Black men were stepping up. Women were naming their kids Barack. Okay. It was like a phenomenon. I still remember the day this man took office. When we were watching that inauguration, I was at work, and we were so proud. It was a beautiful day outside. You know, the fact that this man got out the car and walked and wanted to walk the whole way. He said, I'm not sitting in this car. Walked and waved and the band from Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Steppers performed. Always straight out of Brownsville. Shout out to Brownsville. Shout out to the Brooklyn Steppers in Brownsville. They went to D.C. and performed. You know, I mean, it was a wonderful day. Everybody was just in sync. That was a day that I'm glad I lived to see, because it was a beautiful day. And that's the day we can all tell our grandkids about, you know, we can tell our children about. It was a beautiful day. And I'm kind of sad to see him go, but you know what? I do believe that this man is going to bring about, even after he leaves office, he's still going to be doing the damn thing. You know, and I hope he moves to New York, because that's where he's talking about moving. So, on that note, we are 15 minutes until our show ends, and we're going to use this opportunity to hip you on what's coming up this week from Phone Fantasy Radio. Crush, what you got going on tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Musically Inclined. I did not get a chance to do my rant last week on my show, The Honey Sweet, so I want to do my rant tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
So it's La Crush Rant tonight. It's stuff that just needs to be said.
Yeah, can
I'm
I rant too?
Say
I got things that need
you
to be said.
You can rant too. It was
really
an interesting situation, because I was talking to a gentleman, and he said, you don't look like you're ready to settle down. You look like you're having too much fun. And that comment alone just had me baffled, like, really? And I'm like, if he perceived that, and I met him, I can just imagine what other people perceive. And it just got me to thinking and really contemplating and reflecting on who am I attracting. You know, that whole dynamic. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, as well as the Monday Night Jukebox. You know,
all right.
Some awesome tunes. So if you have any suggestions,
we have some old
text them to
I
me.
I got some requests. I got requests.
Huh?
I got
you requests. You got requests? Well, text them to me on Facebook.
Old school reggae. Can we play some old school reggae?
You want the bomb, bomb, bomb.
What's the bomb, 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 dear? There you go. Old school reggae. That's what I want to hear.
Old school reggae. Old school reggae. I got you.
Yeah, we got to hear some old school reggae.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because I'm definitely not having fun. But it is what it is. So that's for tomorrow.
What we got coming up Tuesday?
Oh, wow. Tuesday. It is, folks, this Tuesday coming is the first and the last Tuesday, Full of Flavor Tuesday. It's the first show, our first episode of In the Locker Room, our manly discussion. And I have two awesome male commenters. Y'all just met one of them, Mr. Big City, representing the Bronx. And I have an indie artist by the name of Dame O. He's, you know, from Chicago by the way of Brooklyn. And they're both going to call in, and they're going to join us for a nice conversation about the deconstruction of the black family.
Oh.
Now, this topic right here is going to be so awesome because we're going to work our way from the past to the front and really examine the separation of the black families and how society and how history is playing such a big part in it. We're going to talk about the Willie Lynch letter. We're going to get perspectives of both black men and women. And hopefully we'll have the lines jumping. So I expect to be, this is part one. So we have part two coming up as well. But this is part one. Lines, as always, 805-830-8320. And the website, fullfantasyradio.com.
Matter of fact, let me put City back on real quick since he's on the line. City, Big City, you there?
Yes, I'm here, baby.
All right. You want to give us a little preview, a little sneak peek at what you're going to be discussing on Tuesday with Miss LaCrush?
Yes, there's many things I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. I want everybody to come back and listen to it live and direct. I'm not going to give no previews of anything I'm going to say. I'm just going to wait and see and let everything flow naturally.
Okay, all right, sounds like a plan.
So are we going to be enlightened or are we going to be just giving you a little, what am I in store for? Am I going to be enlightened, brother?
Yes, we all need to be enlightened because actually I was talking to a family member of mine earlier today before I got on air with you all, and I was telling him about Willie Lynch, and he didn't know who or what Willie Lynch represents. So... And this person was an older gentleman, and that speaks volume to me that our old generation doesn't know who Willie Lynch is or what he represented or what he did in order to, you know, in order to destroy. Anyway, everybody just plug in, and we're going to talk more about it. I'm not going to get into it now.
Okay.
I want to say this, folks. Big City here is the new admin for our Facebook group, Bring It to the Table. So basically, I need y'all to go in there, click, join, become a member. I know he's going to bring some interesting conversation to the group, so I'm definitely excited and looking forward to that.
Indeed.
So thanks, Big City.
Yes. I'm looking forward
to it. Do you
want to
give any shout outs to anybody while you're on the phone, Big City? You want to shout out to anybody as we wrap it up?
I just want to shout out my family. You know, I want to give a shout out to my girls Brick and my girl, you know what I'm saying, my main girl, my new main girl now, La Crush.
I'm jealous.
Oh, okay.
I'm jealous.
Okay. Don't be jealous.
Yeah. I'm jealous. Oh, no. Don't get jealous of me. No, don't get Brick
jealous. I'm saying,
he
don't know.
I'm going back. I need Brick. She's like
y'all both all at a bag of Chips Ahoy, real talk, you know what I'm saying? But it's going to be a wonderful experience, you know. It's going to enlighten people, you know, young and old, you know. It's just going to be a real interesting topic, you know, and it's going to get some people mad, But I don't care because truth is truth. Truth will set
you
free.
Right, I don't get it. I said that too, Brick City. I was talking to Brick earlier, and I was like, you know, this shouldn't be a show to get anyone mad. This should be a show to inform. We're not debating because we're all about to learn and be on the same page. So why would anybody get mad? But, you know, the truth hurts, so.
Yes, the truth hurts, and that's basically what it is. Exactly.
It's our way of making people aware and conscious. We have a show like this and just online in general. We have a platform, so why not use it for good? And plus, this is our introduction into Black History Month.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
but like I said,
you know, we want to make people conscious and aware, and even though they're not tuned in right there in my face, I know that it's downloadable. We on iTunes. We on all your mobile apps. I think this should be more of a positive and come together. This is our version of the Millionaire March.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
You got to know where
you
come
like
from to know where you're going.
Exactly.
So I think with these two shows that we're doing, the deconstruction of Black families, I hope it leads into consciousness. I really do. That's my goal, is to lead us as a people, as a community, as a person, lead you to consciousness of, you know, what's happening around you. Because I do have a follow-up show after all this, because I feel like we're being distracted. We're the same tactics that were being used in Willie Lynch days are still being used today.
Yeah.
And I've seen it over in December when we was talking about stuff, the injustice that we felt with Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, police brutality. All of a sudden, the main focus was who? Bill Cosby, or the action that it could put, or the situation that happened over 30 years ago. Why are we being distracted by this? That's all you heard about was Bill Cosby. All you heard about was the Ebola virus. All of a sudden now, what we was fighting for, what we was angry about, our focus was derailed. And that's what they used to do back then. They were, no, that's not, no, don't try to come against us. You need to focus on this black man, his head and this black man. That's what they used to do, you know. Well, you know, I need to stop I'm going beside myself. I digress. Tune in Tuesday. There we go. You got the mic break. It's your show.
No, I just think I go for it.
Let me swallow my stick.
But definitely. Definitely check out, bring it to the table. It's going to be interesting now, I see, because trust me, I'm in a couple of groups with Big City, and Lord have mercy. He know how to get people fired up. I'll say that. He gets me fired up a lot. So, but you know what? It's all good because I love the challenge. He's an excellent, very intelligent brother, and he's going to bring a wonderful addition to bring it to the table. Definitely you're going to want to check that out. Definitely. So, next week on The Brick House, we will be discussing food stamps. We were talking about food stamps earlier, and we will be discussing food stamps on the next show. And
awesome.
Basically what they are talking about now, it's just being talked about. What they are talking about is taking away food stamps and replacing them with food staples, such as the good Goodman cheese that we used to get way back in the day.
Oh, my God, I remember that walk to the church.
Lord, that's for real.
That cheese made some damn good grilled cheese sandwiches. Oh,
yeah, basic grilled cheese sandwiches.
Excellent grilled cheese.
The big jobs, the no frills section.
Remember the grape
that
juice?
That was.
Grape juice
too. Oh, the grape juice?
Had no frills.
Yes.
It was a white label.
And a big old brick of margarine. Remember that?
Big block of margarine. Yep, you're absolutely right. So, because they feel that people are abusing food stamps. They feel that people are going to the store, buying lobster tails and crab legs and all sorts of other things instead of buying food that is nutritious. People are buying big boxes of potato chip snack mix and Kool-Aid and all this other stuff.
I see it.
It's food. I tell you this, I bought some shark. Fuck y'all. It's food.
I kind of see what they're saying, but then I'm like,
it's food.
Does it hold water? Does it hold water? Well, you know what? Fish is good for you, so I don't even think that's really a problem because fish is a lean meat and it's good for you. So
I
don't think that's a problem. But they're trying to stop people from buying sodas, things that offer no nutritional value. That's what they're really talking about. Soda offers no nutritional value.
But guess what? I ain't saying no names, but I have seen folks go up there and get the steamed crabs and steamed lobsters and oysters and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? With their food stamp. And I'm like, yo, what's good?
Why not?
But the food stamp card is paying for the steam. You know what I'm saying?
You're not supposed to use the food stamps to buy hot food. Like, you're not supposed to go in there and get, like, bacon and cheese with it.
You can't use food stamps to buy a bag of ice. That's funny.
Really?
But they do it, though. The Chinese.
You can't use food stamps to buy a bag of ice.
The Chinese people on my way do it all the time. They're like, give me a food stamp card.
I didn't know that.
You're not allowed to.
So they say, okay, I know you couldn't buy nothing hot. Like, you can't buy a sandwich or a plate.
No hot food. But they won't let you buy bag
ice. Is the steam crabs hot?
But you know how they do it? What they do is that they add another dollar onto it. You understand? So it looks like the food is actually being brought raw, but it's not. They're paying for it. You understand? They add a dollar to it for it to get steamed. So in other words, when they get the food, they select the food, right? They put it in, and then what happens after that is that they pay an extra dollar for it to get steamed. So once they pay for the food, it is raw at that time, but they pay an extra dollar, and they get a little ticket that says steamed, and that's how they do it.
Okay, but they didn't pay for it. It was raw. So technically,
are they paying an actual dollar for the steam, or are they taking it out of the food stamp? Okay, if they're paying a dollar, then they actually did buy it raw.
No, yes, they are, because they're charging another dollar for them to steam it. You understand? Like,
but if they're paying
like
a physical dollar.
In other words, if it's saying, if let's say the seafood comes out to $15, right, for mussels, for clams, or whatever, they add another dollar onto it to pay for the steam, and they just get a ticket.
You're going to blow them up for a dollar?
I don't have food stamps, so I gotta pay for it. Then you know what I'm saying? Come on, I gotta pay for it. You know what I'm saying? Pay for it out of my pocket.
Okay, y'all,
save this for next week.
Y'all could go in next week. Or this dollar. I'm like, my God, you're supposed to steam for a dollar? I'm like,
exactly. That's money.
Like, he is tight because he got to pay that dollar physically.
I know this is going to be a hot one next week, so y'all definitely going to want to tune in to this one. They already going at it.
I'll be mad
that
there's no taxes on it. But, yeah, okay, go ahead.
I didn't say who the people were. I said, I didn't say who the people were. I didn't say where it was. All I said was in my hood. That's what I said.
I'm just saying. I hear you, baby.
Check it out. In my hood, in Harlem, too, they're certain parts of Harlem, but I'm not going to say Maine. They, too, do the same thing.
Wow.
Interesting stuff, Brick. Interesting stuff. We're going to have fun with that topic.
Yeah, y'all definitely going to have. We're going to chop that up because there's a lot of pros and cons with that idea. Because when you think about it, don't we all have freedom of choice? We have a choice. We have a freedom to buy what we want to buy. And now
yeah,
they try to put tougher sanctions now.
Why can't you go home and get the seasoning?
You got a steam machine at home?
You don't have to have a steam machine. You put a big pot of water, boil it, and
Oh my gosh.
Come on.
You know.
Right, but they don't need to steam it. It's still like the way Ruru did it.
They got to go get the old bay seasoning on there.
They got to steam it with the old bay on there.
They got a steam, exactly. They got the steamer in a pot. They got a pot that's a steamer. You put the old bay in it and steam it. You understand?
You know what? I ain't read
this. Well, we can't wait to this conversation for a second.
Exactly. So, anyway, as I was saying, is it another government leash saying, is it basically another way for the government to put a leash or, you know, tighten the noose around you already around your neck because you're already on
yes.
the system? And now
yes.
it's like they're really trying to really, really, are they nitpicking or is this actually a valid
yes.
claim? We're going to try that out. My crush feels a certain way.
Listen, Brick. Remember a few years ago, they wanted to get rid of the 2-liter sodas. Remember that?
Yes, they did.
This is their rebuttal to that. That's their rebuttal to that. You know what? Fucking, we just going to get rid of food stamps. Because 50 million people was on it, we're going to take it away. We need to get to that. But see, that's their rebuttal to that.
My thing is, this is going to affect people everywhere because, as we know, food stamps is a federal-funded program. So this is going
right.
to affect people everywhere. So you definitely want to tune into
this. This is going to affect the economy, period.
You know, we're talking about New York and what they do in the Bronx and what they do here in Brooklyn, but it affects you, too, wherever you are. So we only talk about issues that affect everybody on a worldwide, you know, or not a worldwide, but on a national level. And food stamps affects everybody.
Can I ask you one question when you finish? Can I ask
sure
you one question,
you can.
Please? And I'm going to leave it alone. Okay. Check this out, okay? Now, what about those individuals that... Never mind.
Write it down. Save it for Sunday. Write it down and save it for Sunday.
That's what I said. Never mind. I ain't going to say that. I'm waiting for next Sunday.
We're going to chop it up.
It's on Brick, you and I. We're going at it.
Well, I'm not going. Crush is the one that's going to get it. I'm like, I'm at a dollar.
How you going to deprive Lil Junebug of some lobster tail because you have to pick every dollar?
Exactly.
He should be drinking 100% juice. Or
hater. Exactly.
What about Junebug
selling his food stamps to get some cigarettes? How about that?
Hang it up.
That's it for this week, guys. I hope everybody enjoyed themselves and got a little bit more information about the State of the Union. Shout out to everybody that listened tonight. I thank you for tuning in. I'm going to be on with Crush tomorrow. She takes the first chair tomorrow. I take the side seat tomorrow, which I like because I get to cut up and act stupid and not be serious. Crush is going to have to be the one to be all nice and calm, and I can just act stupid in the chat room, which is what I do.
I always act stupid.
I be acting stupid in the chat room. You know me.
You're nice and calm. I always act stupid now. I'll be nice and calm on Tuesday.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
I see
being
shitty going to have to throw bowls.
They're gonna be going off on each other. I'm just gonna be sitting back, just like trying to man the switchboard because I know they're gonna be going at it. People gonna be calling in, wanting a piece of him because I got a feeling that he's gonna be a piece of work. And basically, that's it for this week. I wish you all to have a very blessed week. Be careful in the snow. If you're getting snow, please be careful. Please be careful. Crush, try to
honestly,
get to the store tomorrow morning.
Snow is how you make babies.
That's what we're
going to
talk about tomorrow night.
Ain't nobody making no
blizzard.
Babies. Oh, you know what? That's true. Blizzards is where y'all 9 months later, everybody walking around with big bellies. This is true. Everybody be walking around with big bellies in September. So if you see those bellies in September, you know why. It's a blizzard, baby. Shout out to all the daddies out there, the potential daddies, because I know y'all going to be all bunned up there Tuesday. Be careful. Use protection. Be safe.
Because
I know y'all going to be getting it in. Be safe. Crush, get to the store tomorrow morning. Get up early and go to the store.
It's just me. That's the thing. I ain't got no kids, so it's just me. I can live off of peanut butter and jelly.
You got a cat. He needs food. Max needs food.
Peanut butter and jelly. I already got you in the group, Big C. I already got you in the group. I tagged you. All right,
he's already in the group. All right, we're going to close out with a song. I'm going to leave out with some music. I like to start with music and leave with music. So, last final shout-outs. Anybody?
I want to give a shout-out to my future baby daddy. I miss you, boo-boo.
Oh,
you know
Lord.
Who you is.
I want to give a shout-out to my baby daddy. He locked up. You know, he doing a bid, but I got you, boo. I got you. I'm keeping it faithful.
I'm
just kidding. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning into the Brick House. We will see you next week at same time, same place. And tomorrow we'll see you on Crush's show. We'll be on tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. It's Musically Inclined. We're going to have some old school reggae. No, no, no. I want to hear that cry.
You don't love me and I know now.
Go ahead, Big City. Hit him.
No, no, no.
Come on. Stop acting all shy
now. No, no, no.
Uh-oh.
Drop down the bass. You don't love me as I know now.
Uh-oh.
Okay, hop on up. You got to pop on the Barry White thing, you know what I'm saying?
All right, y'all. We out.
Right.
Y'all have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, except at, no, not bat time, 9 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Standard. All right, y'all.
Okay,
peace out. We're going to close it out. We're going to groove out of here. We're going to groove. Let's groove tonight. See you later, guys.
Later.
Hi, this is one half of the True Brothers, Reggae. Do you need a website for your business or organization? Well, check out my friends at Crush Creations Web Production and Services. They put together our website over at TrueBrothersRadio.com, and it's been getting rave reviews. Whether it's custom graphics, website design and development, to social media consultation, Crush Creations has the tools and the talent to help make your website a hit. Even if you're managing your own website, Crush Creations offers support services such as Web Concierge and tech support services to help make your life a little bit easier. Give them a call at 855-360-8616. That's 855-360-8616. Or go online at www.crushcreations.com. Crush Creations Web Production Services. They have the tools and the talent to help make your website a hit.